We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The final out has been made. Let's talk about what just happened. The good and the bad. It's time for the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragaway in Union Grove, with the franchise, Tim Allen, on The Fan. If you need doors and windows, go to PellaWI.com.
Well, it is a final from American Family Field, and once again this weekend the results are good. A 6-1 Brewers victory in game two of this three-game set against the Chicago White Sox. And welcome in, everybody. It's the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Tim Allen, there he is. It's the Polish pipe bomb, Jeff Orlowski, and a Brewers victory again to take the game and the series, and they'll go after a sweep on Sunday Night Baseball. They run the record of 58-41, and Corbin Burns doing his thing. And things got a little wild mid-game in this one. I mean, I've never seen anything like that. So we'll dissect that coming up in just a little while. But 5-2 are the Brewers now coming out of the All-Star break. Rotten Kansas City Royals. Come on. You can't win one of those games against the Kansas City Royals. But we'll take a 5-2 mark against the Reds. All five victories against the Reds and White Sox. A couple of decent teams. That might be an understatement on the White Sox side of thing. White Sox had won, 17 of like 21 coming into this game, or coming into the series, and they dropped the first two. This is what happens, guys, when you have a Freddy Peralta in game one, a Corbin Burns in game two, and now tomorrow in game three, it's Brandon Woodruff. This is why this is a really, really tough out in the postseason, given the fact that they get there. And we'll talk about that. If you want to react here, 414-799-1250, because, you know, I'm wondering if this is slowly being put together, a special season. You know, it morphs into a lot of different angles over the course of a baseball season. And you wonder, as we speak here, and I know we were distracted, and rightly so, with the Milwaukee Bucks championship run. But you wonder now, at 58-41, this type of pitching, if you're kind of assimilating into your mind here that this is a special season, because as the days go by here, it does kind of feel like one to me. It really does. And maybe it's a little premature, and you can voice that opinion at 799-1250. But I think it's being molded right now. And again, as we talked about last night, still some moves to be made here by the trade deadline, about a week left in that. But I just wonder if you're feeling the same thing I am, in that maybe it's being put together as a special type season. Yes, are there some issues? Of course. Even the best teams have, you know, a few bumps in the road along the way here. And the Brewers certainly have had their fair share. Injuries probably the biggest of which. And then there's, you know, maybe underachieving with a couple of these hitters. But, yeah, I wonder if this is slowly being put together as a special season. Because when you go up against a Cincinnati Reds team breathing down your neck here and you take care of business, you host a Chicago White Sox ball club that's extremely good. And you do this in a couple of games. Now, again, it's two games, you know, 48 hours worth of baseball, and, you know, don't go crazy over it. But I'm just wondering if slowly you're thinking that this may be in the making of a special season. It's fun to think about. I mean, when I talk about that pitching in Peralta, Woody, and Burns, when they keep putting up zeros or they get hit for a run or two here and there, that's going to happen. But in the meantime, you're buying time for your offense to put some runs on the board. And that's what they've done here in this two-game set so far. You know, you buy time, just keep filling racks, fill frames, get to the next inning. You know, in the bullpen there, hand the ball off to the next guy. And buy some time for this offense to kind of put things together a little bit. And that's exactly really what they've been doing all season long. Just they're time buyers. And so we've got about a week left with the trade deadline. A little benchmark hit today here on July 24th. If you think back to 1 year ago today was opening day. 60 games shortened pandemic season. You had all sorts of hell breaking loose in terms of negotiations between the league and the players. You remember all that? All the way March, April, May, June range. They didn't put things together until way late. And now tonight, 41,686 at American Family Field. I think officially that goes down as a sellout. 41,000 1 year to the day of the opener last year. Wow. I mean, it just goes by so quick, but then in other ways, it's been a slow grind, if you will. All right, special season. Is it starting to feel like that? We don't know if it's going to be. Did you know it was going to be with the Milwaukee Bucks back in January or February? And I'm not sure quite necessarily if it's yet that for the Brewers here, but it's, I mean, if you're going to put together one, you're hanging around 15, 16, 17 games over 500. You bottom out, you go back to 14 over, 13 over, you rattle off a few wins. That, to me, is a mark of a very good baseball team. When you start hanging out around 15 games over, 14 games over, instead, over the years, and I'm talking many years ago, well, maybe not that many years ago, you know, you get to 9 games over and we're all riding high and celebrating. Well, then you go on a little bit of a skid and you're 3 or 4 games over, and then you bounce back to 6 over. No, this team has been hanging around 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 games over 500. To me, that's the mark of a good baseball team, and it's the mark of a potential special season. So again, walk me through this for you. Because I'm not quite all the way there yet on the special season. Of course, I call it the championship season, Jeff. But I'm not all the way there on the special season, quote, the special season. But it seems to me on the little back burner that it's starting to be formed.
Well, what's it going to take? Come on, Tim. They've had, so you know, we talked about all the injuries that they suffered throughout the season, and you know, just the sheer amount of games, Kane and Wong and Yelly was hurt, and, you know, just everybody getting, you know, was dinged up for a while, and they just kept turning the sheet and kept racking up these wins. So it definitely feels special to me, man. I'm all in on it.
Okay, you're 100% that this is a special season. And to me, that definition is at minimum a deep run into the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
So that means a playoff series victory. That's the way I would define at this point. Now, we may re-rack and reset the goals or whatever once they get into the playoffs. But my goodness, it sort of feels like that. We'll get to our game recap in just a bit. A Brewers 6-1 victory as they take the first two games of this three-game set. We are live here in the Lakeland University studios with online learning in 7 locations throughout the state. Learn on your terms. lakeland.edu. And we'll hear from Craig Counsell, Tony La Russa, just holding court again, second consecutive night. But, boy, things got unraveled in that fifth inning. And I just, before we get to your calls here, you know what that fifth inning reminded me of? Go back to last year's four games against the Chicago White Sox on this very show, in this very microphone. All the infield singles by the Chicago White Sox team were driving me crazy. And they did it again in the fifth inning today. Do you remember that, Jeff? That it was so many infield singles. It was crazy. I was making up stats at one point.
Well,
I was saying, you know, the Brewers have given up more soft contact infield singles, according to Stats America, than anyone else in the modern era of baseball. I was just making that up. But it seemed like that, and then they repeat the performance, at least in the fifth inning today.
I do remember it now, because I remember you making up those stats. That was hilarious. It didn't strike me at first, but, you know, like you said, you know, today, yet again, it was it was so brutal.
Oh, man. 799-1250. Okay, special. Let's define that word for you guys. And coming off this Bucks thing, maybe it's enhanced a little bit for you. Coming off a couple of wins over the nemesis of Tony La Russa and a good baseball team in the White Sox. So there's a lot to pick apart on that question. Let's go to Patrick. Patrick, you're on the Fan, a 6-1 Brewers victory.
Oh, yeah, Tim. Come on. This is special. Like I told you the night the Bucks won it, I called Indy and said, now it's the Brewers' turn. This is why. I think they just, like we talked last night, they just need one to two more solid relievers. And the reason why I think that puts them over the top is, you know, they still have one of the lowest batting averages in the majors,
yep.
But their run differential in the NL is fourth best, which tells you that they've got the really good starting pitching. If they just shore up one or two more arms, they'll be lights out. They've got three top starters. They get a lot of strikeouts, which can run up the pitch count, like you saw tonight a little bit with Burns. So if you just get six out of them, but if you get one or two more really good relievers and then you've got Hader, it's like dynamite, you know, and because, you know, 43% of their games, I figured out, they've scored three or less runs this
That's
year,
crazy.
And they are 9-33 in those games. That's a lot of games that they're not scoring runs. So if they continue to do that, that's why I think you've got to get one or two more arms to help out these top three guys. And like I said last night, Braun only costs us money. He doesn't cost us any prospects or anything. So if you bring him back for even 25 or 30 games to get ready, I think that's all we need.
All right, Patrick, thank you. You're right on the pitching side of things and the run scoring side of things. They need to get to four or more runs. Their record is amazing. I think 48-8 or something like that. They're the first team ever to get 1,000 strikeouts as a staff in 100 games or less. Again, that tells you they're going to be in baseball games. And they're going to be nail biters too, which is an exciting brand of baseball, which is a playoff brand of baseball. But does it feel like it's being put together here as a special run? We're in July here, guys. It's July 24th. It's not September 24th. It's July 24th, so that's why I'm not the 100% special, even though I call it the championship season. It's starting to be formed here in my mind. All right, let's go to Nate. Nate, you're next on the Fan. Special or no?
I'm gonna go with not quite there yet. It's still a long way to go. Still have a lot of ball to be played. But Like you said, it's starting to form, man. When you see how dominant these pitchers are and you see the offense coming together, getting healthy, and guys are getting back into their roles and they're playing a good brand of baseball. This is not a bad Chicago team by far. And you see what the Brewers are capable of doing, with pitching and good offense. This the Chicago pitching staff is almost it's probably one of the best in baseball, and we made them. And the Brewers have come out here and made them look like they're middle of the pack. You know what I mean? So, I'm not gonna say it's there yet, but it's getting close to there because, man, if you get Lorenzo Cain back, and you get some of these hitters back, and you could add a hitter maybe, add a reliever here and there, you got a product to get it there.
When Braun comes back,
when Braun comes back, yes.
And I'm gonna tell you this, Tim. I don't envy Craig Counsell and Stearns right now because I don't know what you do when Lorenzo Cain comes back because I don't feel comfortable sending Tyrod Taylor back down to AAA right now.
Yeah,
so
I don't know what
they have to do to keep him up here, but man, he's swinging a hot bat. And I don't envy them not one bit at all. But hey, it's a good problem to have.
Yes, that was going to be my follow up. Nate took the words out of my mouth. Hey, thanks a lot. Always a pleasure. Yeah, that's a great problem to have. And speaking of injuries, we'll have an injury update. Bally Sports Wisconsin's Sophia Minard had a little injury. Summary, if you will. And there's some news on that and some reinforcements coming. And that is, you're right, Nate, that is a good problem to have. And we'll see. And let's go to Beer Count Kenny. Kenny, I wish I could join you tonight, but I'm working.
Hold on. Ready, Tim?
You bet.
Hang on now. Look at what I normally do. Ready? Oh, yeah. You got to crack one.
I love that instant request.
And you know what? And the reality with that is, that's life here in Wisconsin. My goodness. And I'm not even up at the cabin. Next week I'll be up at the cabin. In fact, I'm going to be in your old stomping grounds. I'll be doing the play-by-play as it goes through for the Flamborama. I take care of all that. That's coming up. You got to get up there one time, Tim. Have you ever been to the Flamborama?
Uh-uh.
That's in Park Falls. It's their town festival.
Well, it's right outside of Butternut.
just right outside of Butternut. There you go.
It is. Actually, there's Butternut Lake right there.
You know what's going on in Butternut this weekend?
The Brewers and the White Sox.
No, it's their town festival.
So, Butterfest, yeah.
But nevertheless, I'm just trying to educate you about the North Woods. But here's the deal. You know, the Brewers, like we've talked about before, nobody picked them to be where they're at. And they're just cruising along. They're cruising along. And they just keep doing what they're doing. And last night, that grand slam by Tyrone, unbelievable. Mm-hmm. You got guys that are contributing that nobody expected to contribute. And as this team continues to get better and better and better and build their chemistry, Stearns is going to continue to make the moves like I told you. Remember who I told you not to hit your wagon to? Who did I tell you not to hit your wagon to?
Well, hold on, Keston here. Just hold on that. let's just hold off on that a little bit.
No, I'm not going to hold because he's going to be trade bait. He's going to be gone. And rightfully so. I mean, he's got no reason to be on his team anymore. He can't hit. He can't hit water if he fell out of a boat. But the reality is you've got to have guys that can hit. And that's what this team needs right now. They need to be able, with the pitching, they have tremendous pitching. They need to get one more setup closer guy, in my opinion, and then another outfielder. I don't think we need like everybody keeps saying, oh, I hope they go get Aguilar. Go get Jesus to play first base. No, Pork and Beans is coming back, and he's going to be your first baseman. Rowdy's doing a great job right now. But the reality is you're going to need one more outfielder, even though Kane's coming back. Kane's been too – you really just can't rely on him. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen with Kane. But Wong being at second base, and as long as he can stay healthy, your infield solidified, you've got tremendous guys – with Tyrone and Jace to help you out in any position that you need to have that taken care of.
So does it feel special to you, Kenny?
What's that?
Does it feel special to you this season?
Oh, my God, without a doubt. Right now, I love it because when I turn on MLB, they're quaking in their boots. Why? They hate the fact that another Midwest team like Milwaukee, right, who nobody picked the Bucks to win anything, is right there. And not only are they there, they're at the top of the whole deal, Tim. And everybody hates it. Why do they hate it? Because they want the bigger teams. They want to hear about the Dodgers. They want to hear about the Yankees. But guess what? Milwaukee's on the map, and it's going to stay there for a long time to come. And this Brewer team right now is moving forward in leaps and bounds. And as long as they can, and they're going to sweep this tomorrow night on ESPN.
Oh, Woody, throw a gem now. Come on, put them out.
You think that they beat the White Sox the last 2 days like they beat them? Wait till tomorrow night. I can't wait till they put them down on national TV tomorrow night.
Can't wait. Kenny, I got to scoot. I do have to go. All right, thanks a lot. 799-1250. You're just coming out of American Family Field. How did that feel? 41,000. Now, again, it's helped out by some Chicago travelers, for sure. But 41,000?
It's huge. But Timmy, if you're one of the Brewers and you're playing at home and you're a first place team with they're 6.5 over Cincinnati going into
today, right?
And the crowd is almost 50-50 for the second night in a row. Where the hell are the Brewer fans at?
They'll get there. And see, that's that therein lies the question. Does it feel yet like a special season, a special run? Because it's starting to be formed for me. It is. And again, I call it the championship season, and I could actually be right this year for the first time in 16 years doing this show. 799-1250. At first, though, let's get to the injury report that Sophia Minard had the latest on just a couple of hours ago on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Yeah, give me a second to pull that up here.
Okay. Yeah, it'll grab that because Lorenzo Cain, Daniel Vogelback, Travis Shaw, Devin Williams. I mean, these are guys that the team's going to count on down the stretch. Could you imagine? I know now it's Rowdy Tellez doing his thing at first, and maybe a little Jace Peterson, maybe a little Keston Hira. But I will say this, that you could have a left-right punch in a platoon role of Vogelback and Braun down the stretch. It could happen, but here's that injury update.
Yeah, the Brewers are trying to get healthier. And as you guys said, Lorenzo Cain, they're expecting to get him back Tuesday in Pittsburgh after he finishes his minor league rehab assignment. Travis Shaw with the dislocated left shoulder, Daniel Vogelback with the strained left hamstring. They'll both be going down to Nashville to begin their rehab assignments next week. Shaw's expected to be in the lineup as soon as Tuesday. Daniel Vogelback may need a few more days, but he should be in the lineup before the end of next week. And don't forget Devin Williams. He's eligible to come off of the injured list. He's been dealing with the right elbow discomfort. He threw a bullpen today, so if everything goes well, Devin Williams said he's been feeling pretty good. He could be eligible to come off on July 27th, which would be Tuesday as well. So things going in the right direction for them on the injury front.
Yeah, it really is headed in the right direction here for the health side of things. But still getting your reaction on a Brewers 6-1 victory here in Game 2 of this three-game weekend set over a good Chicago White Sox team. And yeah, Pipe Bomb mentioned some of the fans that were traveling up from Chicago. And as always, if I say it for the NL team, I got to say it for the AL team. On your way back down 94, you go past Racine, Kenosha, you hit the state line, you hit right past there, Pleasant Prairie, the outlet mall there. And then you get over and you get, don't let that toll booth hit you in the tailgate on your way back to Illinesia. We thank you for your money. And that was a good couple of wins. So let's make it three in a row. Still to come, Craig Council, the Brewers get the Game 2 victory. And we're talking about a special season. That's a definition up to you guys. To me, it seems like it's a heavy lean in that direction because a 58-41 mark. That's pretty established after 99 games here.
I'm Sapella glad Windows. You were never my teacher, Tim. You're great on one hell of a curve, man.
Yeah,
that would have
right.
been rough for me.
Sapella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove, as always here on The Fan.
Let's hear what you thought of today's game on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On The Fan, call Tim Allen now at 414-799-1250 or tweet the show at 1250 AM The Fan.
Well, things got a little wild mid-game here, and we'll get into that in just a second. The Brewers get a 6-1 victory to take game two of this three-game series, and Rowdy Tellez, well, having his moments, Tyrone Taylor, all these guys contributing. And that, to me, another mark of a potential special season. It's getting there. 799-1250, want to get your reaction on that. We'll get into our game recap here from Craig Counsell. Let's go to Todd. Todd, you're next on The Fan.
Howdy, boys. I can pass off a quick thing for Beer Count Kenny. A buddy of mine was up in Park Falls, and Timmy, you would dig this. He won 50 large on a $5 crossword, and he bought it on Park Falls just about a week and a half ago.
Nicely done. I've been stumbling crazy drunk in Park Falls many years ago. Yeah,
I spent a week there one night about a year ago, but we all know how that goes. But you know, as far as we go with special season, it's kind of there now. If we could get past, the other night ago, whatever I said, I think these two teams are on special, on a collision course, I would say.
Could be.
The Sox and the Brewers right now. We're a couple pieces away. And my thought is if, for one, I said, maybe Zach Davies out of the Cubs, but maybe Joey Gallo out of Texas. I know we're overloaded in the outfield department, but we're hurt in that department too. But Yelich has really been. I don't know. I could go up and down about him, but I'd like to see him move down the line. I really would, man. I think he should be 6 or 7, hitting second or third. To me, it just it's not right. I think. We could do better.
I'd bat him 10th, not in the lineup.
Well, Tom, I would too, man. I wouldn't even bat the guy. I'd make him set. I'm so upset with that guy right now. I can't even describe how upset I am.
I'm still reserving a big time run hope for Christian Yelich. Craig Counsell said it a few days ago. He's helping them win baseball games, and he's right. He is right. But today with the bases loaded, that was a put away shot. He hits a shot right there. It's 8-0. They run away with the game.
It was, and like last night too, he did the same thing. It's like, come on. It's like I don't know. He can't get out of his own way, and sometimes maybe it needs maybe a little dose of reality here. It really is. It's like move him down. We struggled with Ryan Braun a while back with that whole deal with
it. You mentioned it right there. I think the elixir for Christian Yelich is Ryan Braun. I do. I think when his buddy comes back in, when number 8 dons the jersey again and goes out the way he wants to go out, I think Yelich gets going at that point. I believe that. So for that reason alone, a part-time Braun is going to help a full-time Yelich.
Yes, and it could be a full-time little. To a full-time Yanis. They love each other, and maybe that's what we need. There's something that's missing. There's something missing, and we can't figure it out. And, all of us guys that we all talk about it, we don't know the truth, but maybe it is that thing to me. Maybe it is. I pray that you're right. Maybe bring them back, and maybe that's just the kick in the pants the guy needs.
Maybe. All right, okay. Todd, I got to scoot. All right, 799-1250. I was on the score yesterday morning. Yeah, By the way, that dude owes me a case of beer, too.
Nice.
Yeah. That was Goose Island versus High Life.
Okay.
I think it was. Yeah, I doubt.
That's giving him odds. Goose Island's a lot more expensive than the champagne of beers.
Well, it's if I had a nickel for every time I made a bet over the radio with other markets and they didn't pay, you know, they didn't pay up. Yeah. So I'm not holding my breath here, but maybe after the sweep, they might send me something.
Yeah.
We'll see. I do believe that that the change with Braun coming back, and again, I have no knowledge of this. This is just wishful thinking at best, but it makes total sense. I think that helps Yelly. And I still reserve hope that the final third of this season has Yelich being Yelich. They asked me on the air on the Score yesterday morning, well, what's up with Yelich? What's the deal? I don't know. I don't have an answer for him. I don't have an answer for you guys. I don't have an answer for their audience. I don't have an answer for my – I don't know. You tell me. 240, okay. I mean, you know, it's not 205. He had 205 last year. 240 is
– Slugging 373?
That's horrible.
Yep.
That part – that's the worst stat line out of all of this because that goes into the – you know, to the home runs, the extra base hits, and things like that. So the slugging percentage to me is kind of deplorable. You know, the batting average, you can kind of get by with 240 if you're drawing your walks, which he is. So he's kind of getting by, but that slug, man, that slug's got to come around. And really, can they have this special run and cap it off to a deep run, if not into the World Series or a championship or whatever? Of course they can without, because they're 58-41 now.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
But I think to some degree, now I don't know how much, but to some degree, he's going to have to take over a series or a game once in a while. He's just going to have to with this team. You know, they're going to get into some dogfight series. If not in the playoffs, then prior to dogfight series where all three or four games are one-run games, and say they lose three or four, and they're all one-run or two-run games, those are the series that the slug right there from Yelly makes the difference.
Yeah.
And I'm going to reserve some hope, Jeff, that the final third of the season, he, you know, for whatever reason, he turns things around.
Yeah, you know, I think it just feels like it's taking so long because, you know, we all saw the MVP season. We all seen the power and just loads of success. And, you know, it's been, you know, all of 2020 season and all of this season has been a struggle. And so I think that, you know, is one of the reasons why it seems like it's been so long. But, you know, like you're right. He definitely does do things to help them win the game besides the bat, which is why I wouldn't put him on a phantom 10-day IL stint, but I would give him 2-3 days off in a row.
I thought about that earlier today too, and I wonder if that might help him where he gets a couple of days off. And I'm not a big day off guy, but in this case, you mentioned last year. If you add up 60 games, 63 last year. Now, again, he's been on the IL, so he's missed some games. But just in terms of the organization's games, the organization has now played, if my math is correct, 63 last year and 99 this year is exactly 162.
Mm-hmm. Good math.
So we're at 162 for Christian Yelich, and we just haven't seen the slugging. We just haven't seen it. I love the on base. Don't get me wrong. I do. The batting average, 240 to 250 range. It's all right. You can deal with that. All right, 799-1250. Let's get TC in here. TC, you're on the Fan. 41,000 at American Family Field.
Yeah. Hey, good evening, Tim. And, I would say it's probably about 65% Brewers, 35% Sox fans.
Okay, good.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
But getting with Yelich, what about the possibility that you know how players are when they're big leagues, they're making a lot of money, they're a star player, maybe he's playing hurt. Doesn't want to let anybody know.
I think it's an absolute possibility of that.
No, it's not with the way that council babies these guys.
It's possible. However, you watch him play. He's running around like he's fully 100% healthy. Doesn't it seem like to you? Making a dive, throwing, running, stealing, legging things out. I mean, it doesn't appear that way, but it's possible.
Well, that is possible, but you know how some players are. I mean, Brett Favre played hurt, too, when he was playing. No one knew. It was like, he looked great. Passes are going good, this and that. So, I'm just saying. I think Braun has even done it in his career.
Yeah, I think to a degree most of them do. But in this case, just in specific on Yelich, the style of play doesn't indicate. But again, they play hard through an injury. It's quite possible. I think it's between the years. I really do.
Yeah.
I do. And that is a challenge in itself. TC, great point.
I think that is.
That's the world of sports. I mean, these guys, it's such a humbling nature when you don't succeed and you're used to it. And then when you can't get out of it, the futility of that has got to be even, worsening the situation.
Well, imagine how Keston Hiura feels. He gets sent down to AAA and just crushes the ball all over the place. He gets called up and he can't hit a lick. And they send him down again and he crushes it in AAA again. And then they bring him up and he can't hit a lick still. It's brutal. It's brutal.
You start doubting yourself, questioning yourself, and the whole money thing. I mean, I've heard this around the bar stools. You can cite a million different examples of how some of these professional athletes got paid, and then there's a distinct drop off. We've all sports like that. There has to be a transition, like this grace period. Imagine yourself, and you maintain your job, but you just hit the lottery for $24.8 million.
Okay.
And you want to keep your job.
Why?
And you do keep your job. Well, I know. I get that. But maybe you like your job, and you want to go there. There has to be this transition of, it doesn't matter now, or incentive, carrots dangled. They're all searching the million, tens of millions, and sometimes hundreds of millions of dollar contract. That has to be a grace period. That to me would be a little bit more on the human nature side.
Yeah, I agree. And that's one of the problems with both basketball and baseball in the guaranteed contracts. You don't see this kind of stuff in the NFL because, even though you may have a 3-4 year contract, you're only guaranteed your bonus money.
Yep,
and
yep.
So, you're basically playing on a 1 year deal every single season. So, I think the players are more inclined to play hurt because they don't want to give up their spot on the roster or, in the starting nine. So it with baseball and basketball might get a little easier to get comfortable because, the money's coming no matter what.
No matter what. They're guaranteed. Guaranteed. 799-1250. Let's get one more. Where are we going, Jeff?
To the south side and Coley.
What's up, Coley?
Hey, Coley. I'm sorry. Hey, Jim. I gotta say this, bro. If you add up the starting rotation, the bullpen, we have five horses. We've never been in this spot. Never. Mm-hmm. No supine, none of these wash ups. But we have something incredible here. When you talk about Braun, in my opinion, you sound like a middle aged man going back to his wife. Bro, we have something special here. I'm telling you, bro. I think a great veteran bat, let's see how it rolls. Let's play it out. Let's now start thinking about let's start planning for the signing these guys. And let's do something we haven't had. We've never been the Braves. We've never been watched. We have five horses that can really get us a long way. And I think to, bring all these washed-up people back into Milwaukee would be one of the worst mistakes. Stearns should get that veteran guy when the pressure's on, he delivers that clutch hit. Mm-hmm. You know, and let the cards fall. Kane's coming back. All these other guys are coming back. Milwaukee is better just letting you know, the cards fall where they will. Let's take a chance on some of these guys. Start thinking about this. Start preparing contracts for these guys. Because, brother, we have five horses on the team right now. And I'm talking about pitching.
Yes.
And I think bringing in maybe a good veteran, unless you're going to go out and get somebody with some major pop, why? And you got, Tim, I feel you on the championship. I don't think we're there. Mm-hmm. I think you're a little inflated there, because you know we got to see what they do. But you're right. We're to be in a position where we are pitching strong, not fielder, not Braun, not all these other, but pitching strong. It is so good.
It's awesome. I mean, so you're saying reinforce the strength of this team, which is the pitching staff.
He hung up.
Yeah, which, Coley, I totally get it. But that veteran guy, and we can debate this as the season rolls along, and I'd like to hear from you again as, you know, this story plays out. But that guy, that veteran guy that you're talking about that comes up big once in a while down the stretch here, that is Braun. That has been Braun. But on the other hand, I understand upsetting the apple cart, too. When you got something good going, ooh, boy, do you want to mess with that? I kind of understand that part of it, too.
Yeah, but everybody always says what a great clubhouse guy Braun is. So, you know, it's not like you're bringing in a clubhouse cancer.
True. And you do have Lorenzo Cain, a leader, coming back as well. He is going to pay off. Telling you, I got a great feeling about Lorenzo Cain. All right, let's get to a few of these highlights here before we get to Craig Counsell. Corbin Burnes started this ball game, and he throws a scoreless first inning. Well, I can't say the same about Rodon, because the first pitch he threw was to Colton Wong, and it went a long way.
Wong, first pitch, swinging, hammered deep right, 1-0 Brewers. They pick up right where they left off from last night.
How about Corbin Burnes? Another 1-2-3 frame in the second inning. Brewers bottom half. They add to the lead. Last night's hero. Well, this time, it wasn't late in the game. It was early, but it was Tyrone Taylor.
To Tyrone. To deep left center. Did he get enough? Goodwin back. Back-to-back nights for Tyrone Taylor. 2-0 Brewers.
And they go up 2-0, and Burnes did end up going 9-up, 9-down. He gets into the fourth inning, 10-up, 10-down, 11-up, 11-down, and then, Abreu with a 2-strike. Remember we talked about last night, hey, man, something special could happen tonight. I thought for a second there, Jeff, we were onto something.
Yeah.
Because it was 11-up, 11-down, but... Abreu got him for a soft little flare. 2-0 into that bottom of the fourth inning. Brewers looking for more in that frame. Leadoff base hit by Tyrone Taylor. Urias then bunting for a base hit. They throw it away at first. See, once in a while, small ball pays off a little bit. Second and third, nobody out in that fourth for Rowdy Tellez.
3-2. Bouncer right side. Abreu's coming home. The throw is high. Safe at home is Taylor.
Oh, you figure the White Sox are going to take a look at this. Abreu tried to get rid of it quickly. That was a really good jump by Tyrone Taylor at third. Check this out. Right away, on his way. Throw up the line a little bit. Collins not able to make the play in time, and the Brewers on the board again.
I love hearing that crowd like that. Wow. I mean, I just, again, 41,000 to hear that crowd like that. Wow. Manny Pena then drew a walk. Bases loaded with nobody out. Corbin Burnes then struck out. Wong then strikes out. Now at the one in, bases loaded, two outs. Willie Adames goes up 3-0 in the count, takes a strike, and then takes a ball to knock in a run.
Ball four, another run in. Second walk of the inning.
4-0. zip, and you're thinking you're in great shape right there with Corbin Burns on the mound. Now we get to a trip to Hollywood here in the fifth inning. And again, if you recall last year in a four-game set, the Chicago White Sox had about 68,000 infield singles against this team. I remember just losing my mind last year about that. But it was a leadoff base hit off Corbin Burns. That was the hardest hit ball in the inning. It was off Colton Wong's glove. But okay, so be it. There's a base hit. Then soft contact hits him. A swinging bunt for a base hit. Then a flare base hit, loading the bases with nobody out. Then another swinging bunt to Burns. He goes to the plate, and he was safe there, or was he? Now, we will, again, do we have time to even play this, Jeff? This is one of the longer kind of highlights, if you will, from Bally Sports Wisconsin.
We got
that we've had.
We have time to do it. The only problem is I didn't have time to sit there and edit it and cut out all the slow parts.
Right.
But, you know, if you want to hear it, it is about 11 minutes long.
I don't think so. So on that play, he's ruled safe. And it's a 4-1 Brewers lead. And again, game is in the balance right there. Well, then Corbin Burns gets the ball. He addresses the rubber, throws it to Pena to now, quote, appeal the play because somebody, now I don't know how they didn't catch this right away, but this is a little bit of an eye-opener on replay. Whoever's in charge of taking a look at video, come on, you got to do your job as well. Again, I'm not gonna get. Had the Brewers lost this game, you know, maybe I get into that a little bit. But that's if you're in charge of video, and you're backstage, if you will, looking at video, and then you're gonna let counts know to review or challenge. You got to be on these things. I mean, a guy leaving third a little bit too early on a sac fly, a guy oversliding the base. And his foot comes off the base. Sometimes they're tough to catch. I understand. This one should have been fairly easy for the video department for the Brewers. So maybe something learned here. But anyway, they review the play. Turns out, Jeff, that foot never touched home plate.
Nope, not even close.
So they overturn it. La Russa now is going to hold court again. What's new with that? In Milwaukee with Tony La Russa, just, you know, his disciples, also known as the umpires. Hey, come here, we're going to have a meeting. I'm going to tell you what to do here. Now, I will say this. I didn't know the rule. I didn't know when the time had passed or the action taken makes a challenge illegal. So I wasn't aware of when that occurs. But as it turns out, La Russa, I think I don't blame him in this regard, Jeff, to check. And maybe it was too late to even challenge. So they would overturn the overturned replay challenge.
Yeah, I think he had an argument as well. But it's always been my understanding with baseball replay that it's able to get replayed up until the next pitch.
Pitch, that's what I thought, the actual pitch.
Yeah, so, you know, obviously... You know, yes, Corbin, you know, he got up there and then he asked for a new ball and then they challenged it. So, you know, it took a little bit longer than usual, but he never threw a pitch. So I think it was fine.
Yeah. And as it turned out, I would have wondered the same thing if I'm La Russa. So, again, that was understandable.
But he was out there way, way, way too long.
Oh, the whole process took way too long.
And brutal.
Then, see, that's the unfortunate part, is that this thing took well over 10 minutes to kind of unpack all this stuff. And see, that's just on a side note, I don't care if it's hockey, soccer. I don't care if it's baseball or football. I don't like replay of any kind. After experiencing this for many years, we're creating more arguments than it would be if it was just a bad call.
Yep.
We're creating even more so. That's just me, though, and maybe that's for another show to talk about. But, man, I'm not a big fan of replay at all. Just let it fly. Corbin Burns, after that delay, ends up walking a man to force in a run. That made it 4-1. A big out, a strikeout, and then a big fly out by Tim Anderson to end that frame. Through all that, it's 4-1 into the bottom of the fifth inning, and the Brewers empty. I wanted them to answer back right there. Corbin Burns, come on, baby, in the sixth inning, get through that thing. And he did, scoreless. 97 pitches, just the one run given up for Corbin Burns. And the bottom of the sixth inning, the Brewers hit the pay window. Another solo shot. You had Wong, you had Taylor, and how about Rowdy Tellez?
Tellez, deep right center, forget about it. Off the scoreboard for Rowdy.
5-1 at that point into the seventh inning. Brent Suter coming on. Scoreless seventh inning, did allow a base hit. Brewers same thing in their half of the seventh. Into the eighth inning, Suter coming back, and a scoreless inning in the eighth. He needed that outing, by the way. Speaking of Rowdy Tellez, he's been hot, swinging a hot bat. Bottom of the eighth inning, he tacks on.
Oh, what a shot to center, back, way back. It is gone! Tellez, a second home run in this ballgame. Adames, Narvaez, and Peralta, they were fishing for a dinger. They got one.
Yeah, there it was, all on Bally Sports Wisconsin. Miguel Sanchez, a scoreless ninth, and the Brewers go on to take game two, 6-1, the final. We'll get to Craig Counsell in just a second. Let's get one more in here. Ryan, before the break here, I'll squeeze you in. You were at the game tonight.
Yes, I was, Tim. Hey, it was a great game tonight. Loved how Craig Counsell got aggressive early in the game with a couple bunts. Making those White Sox outfield or infielders throw the ball around a little bit. I loved seeing that, and especially drowning out those White Sox fans. I would say it was definitely right around 50-50 tonight, Brewer White Sox fans, but a couple of Tyrone Taylor and Rowdy Tellez home runs really put this game away for the Brewers.
Ryan, nice I heard the chants going back and forth, you know, let's go White Sox, and then the Brewer fans would answer, let's go Brewers. I mean, it seemed like it was 50-50. Somebody else said it was, you know, maybe 65-35.
Yeah, I would definitely say so. The White Sox fans that were there tonight were, I would say, older and were a lot more louder, but it was still great to see so many Brewer fans, families, and younger kids coming out to the game tonight. So
yeah,
I still think it was about 50-50.
All right. Well, thank you, Ryan. Thanks for that update. 41,000. That is super, super good news.
Well, Tim, it's crazy. I lived the first, I don't know, 35 years of my life in Chicago. Went to Old Comiskey, went to whatever stupid name that thing
Guaranteed
has now.
Right now, yeah.
Besides when I went there for World Series Game 1, there has never been more than 20,000 fans in the park. And, you know, I don't know where all these Sox fans are coming from because, you know, obviously they're a bunch of front runners, but, you know, nobody shows up down there if the Sox are even in second place.
Yeah, back to those days of, you know, Robin Ventura. It appeared he hit all eight of his career grand slams against the Brewers back in those days. It really did appear like that. Wow, he's hit grand slams all the time against this team. All right, we'll take a break. Stick around. We're going to hear from Craig Counsell. We're going to hear his perspective on that fifth inning kind of sideways trip to Hollywood here with La Russa and the replay and all that, the rules, and wow. A big win, though, and they're all big. You face competition like this, you chalk it up into the big win column for sure. Sapella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove here on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What was the deal with the lineup? Why did he make that bullpen move? Why did he pinch hit with that guy? Time to get all of those questions answered and more with Scoop from the Skipper. Brought to you by Scholze Family Beef. Treat your grill to quality pasture-raised beef from their family farm. Just go to ScholzeFamilyBeef.com. This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On the Fan.
I'm not sure we've seen a lot of plays in which there was both an appeal, on-field appeal, and then a video replay. I mean, that's kind of a unique situation, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah. If there's a player misses the play, you have to – that's how you have to do it. You have to appeal it first and then challenge that he said he touched the play, yeah. So – yeah, it was a great job by our replay guys. They did a heck of a job staying with that play. You know, it was kind of a chaotic play. They did a heck, you know, didn't look like there was anything, you know, good happening for us there, but they did a heck of a job getting the information to us. Really, really good.
How concerned when that second they go in to take another look again, I guess, to check and see whether y'all could do the appeal. How much concern was that when the delays kept going on?
Well, no, the umpires kept me informed what was going on. The White Sox asked for a rules check, but the umpires were certain that they had gotten it right. So, you know, I wasn't really concerned at any point, really.
Craig, that inning had started so weird for Burns with all of that sort of unluckiness. But in the end, you think that sort of worked in his favor because that's probably what the mound visit was about, right? Was it just to sort of calm his frustration a little bit and that gave the replay guys time to see that the guy didn't touch the plate?
No, the replay guys, I guess the fact that they went out there, I guess they saw it pretty quickly. But we had to kind of put the ball back in play to initiate it. It was a weird inning. The first four hitters, there was the walk and then two infield hits and a blooper really. So, you know, nothing was going our way that inning. The play at the plate was just a strange play all around, and that, you know, Corbin tries to make a play. The play hits the umpire. We thought we caught a break there, and then we really caught a break, right?
We were talking about that, Craig, because if that ball doesn't hit the umpire, it rolls back to the backstop and more runs scored. Then how would they have untangled all of that? The first guy would still be out and others would be safe. What would have happened if that ball kept going?
You can figure that out in your story tomorrow, Tom. My head hurts.
Don't count on me. Let's count on Adam.
Craig, what does it say about Corbin to, you know, he's got to come back from that long layoff, a lot of chaos, crowds confused, and sort of continue to put zeros up, and he did.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, at that point, there's one out, bases loaded. Collins draws the walk, and then he strikes out the pinch hitter and a tough at-bat and gets a great hitter in Anderson to ground out. And then the following inning as well, I mean, the outs of Moncada and Vaughn, who's swinging it really good, were huge. I thought just to kind of clean up the game and clean up that inning and put us in a good spot the rest of the game. So I thought the sixth was the tough inning for him because of the delay in the fifth. He had to work hard to get through the fifth. He had to go through the heart of their order in the sixth. I thought what he did in the sixth inning was really impressive. You're muted, Tom.
The Rowdy Tellez show continued for the second straight night too. You know, you talked the game about wanting to give him some more at bats, and he sure is making the most of them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think he had four great at bats tonight. I would say it just the and that was the hope, is that when Rodon's out of there, then there's righties in there, and that we got a good matchup. But just the first two at bats, you know, just the infield single and hustling to beating that one, and then put the ball in play against with the bases loaded, and you know, didn't do much, but he put the ball in play. Tyrone got a great break, and they didn't, you know, the play had to be perfect on their end, and it wasn't. But you know, that's just a little thing about putting the ball in play, where the strikeout in today's game is such a crippler to rallies, and he just put a ball in play and something good happened for us there. So I thought that was, you know, you love the home runs, of course, but against the tough lefty, down in the count, working his way back to 3-2, and then just getting a ball in play. That's a great at bat to me. Really, really good at bat.
What about Craig,
what about just holding this lineup to one run in each of these games?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're pitching well. We're making pitches, and we're. The other thing I'd say is I think we're playing pretty good defense this series, which is important. But, you know, it starts with the pitching, just executing stuff, and the guys are doing that. Bullpen's done a really nice job. Brent Suter came back after a tough outing and delivered two strong innings. So, you know, we're pitching well. And that's when we play that defense behind those guys and make it, I think it's challenging to score when we play really good defense, and that's what we did again tonight, to support the pitching staff, and the offense is doing enough.
Let's find out the play of the game. Brought to you by ABC Audio Video. Home entertainment and smart home technology simply done right. Check them out at abcaudiovideo.com. On the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On the Fan.
6-1, the final. You just heard from Craig Counsell there, and I'll tell you, it's tough to ask a hypothetical to a head football coach or a baseball manager or a basketball coach. I don't think they dig that too much.
No,
really,
but that
don't.
Was a great back and forth between him and Hardricourt.
It was.
That
yeah.
was funny. That was good.
Because I wondered the same thing. I did. Like, what happens if, the ball is scoots away and then, okay, two runners score after the initial run. So it's like three runs are in. So what do? Do you race them all? I don't. Do you just place them back on? That would have been interesting to unpack right there. So that's one play of the game with ABC Audio Video, for sure. That did sort of turn things a little bit. Burns was getting, you know, clipped with a little soft contact there. And, you know, one big blast, and that game turns out possibly a little bit different. But I think this is a big one, too. And it can't be understated. As you guys know, big fan of setting a tone in a game, in a series, in a road trip, just all of those things. And you got a tough lefty on the mound in Rodon. You've got Colton Wong after Corbin Burns goes 1-2-3 with a couple of punch outs in the top of the first. You get Colton Wong that gives the Brewers the immediate lead.
Wong, first pitch swinging, hammered deep right, 1-0 Brewers. They pick up right where they left off from last night.
Yeah, the highlight from Bally Sports Wisconsin right there. And Rowdy Tellez, you heard Craig Counsell talk about him getting the ball in play big time. Then he goes long ball twice. We're going to hear from Rowdy Tellez. And he gets a curtain call?
Yeah. Yeah. Raise your hand if you thought a week and a half ago you'd ever see Rowdy Tellez get a curtain call at American Family Field.
Or back in April or May, if you've even heard of this man. And now he's getting a curtain call in front of 41,000.
Awesome.
We're going to hear from the Brewers' first baseman after the break here. Cappella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove after a Brewers victory over the Sox here with the Fan.
Let's find out what happened in today's game from the guys that played it. Let's head inside the clubhouse presented by Windows Select. Right now, buy one, get one free. Plus, no payments for an entire year. Call them today at 262-703-3500.
6-1 the final as the Brewers take game two of this three-game set. A couple of huge victories, and you heard Sophia Minard ask Craig Counsell about, holding this White Sox team and a good offense to one run each of these first two games, and that's pretty damn impressive. It really is. And okay, so now we're at about that time where Craig Counsell's on his way home, pipe bomb.
Yep.
So, how you doing, Craig? Appreciate you tuned in here on your way home. Just wondering if we've turned the corner with Tyrone Taylor getting the lion's share of the playing time over Jackie Bradley Jr., and we've turned the corner, Rowdy Tellez playing over Keston Hira. Lefty-lefty for Tellez against Rodon. So that was, to me, that was telling. Because this should have been tailor-made for Keston Hira. And then you had Jackie Bradley Jr., who had been getting starts, almost an everyday start, regardless lefty or righty. But this was a lefty situation here. And you sit him and go to Tyrone Taylor. So I'm just wondering if that, for the time being, prior to the reinforcements coming back here next week, if that's going to be the case. You got a question for Craig on his ride home there, Jeff?
No, not really tonight. I would like to see his reaction if La Russa goes out and has yet another coffee break, mid-game lunch meeting with the umpires tomorrow. So that would be interesting. But, good game tonight, Craig.
Yeah, excellent game and a good performance by Brent Suter. I think that flies under the radar here a little bit. Game was not a runaway game necessarily when Suter was in there. So we do need to make mention of Brent Suter. A couple of scoreless frames in this one. As the Brewers get the victory, Rowdy Tellez knocks in three runs, a couple of home runs, got the ball in play. I find that interesting also, Mr. Counsell, that bat to ball. Just get the bat to the ball. And a lot of times good things happen. Cut down on these damn strikeouts in all of baseball, not just your team. Mm-hmm. All right, Rowdy Tellez. Nobody would have thought a curtain call at American Family Field in front of 41,000. I don't think a lot of Brewers fans even heard of Rowdy Tellez, including myself, prior to the Brewers acquiring him. I may have run across a stat maybe here, a highlight there, but it didn't set in stone in my memory bank that I'd ever heard of the guy, but he's now in a Brewers uniform, and he's helping the Brewers win baseball games. Let's hear from the Brewers' first baseman.
Rowdy, is this sort of what a little playing time will do for a hitter?
I think for me it's just confidence. I want to say yes, that's what some playing time does. But, when you're given opportunities, you got to capitalize on them. And I wasn't doing that at the beginning of my time here. And, I'm able to put together some good at-bats and work into some other games. So hopefully we can keep this going and team's playing well. So it's all that matters.
Rowdy, it must be cool to do this in Milwaukee, though. The fans are just getting to know you and, you made a big impression on them tonight. You heard your name chanted. That had to feel good.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty cool. It's my first curtain call
I heard my name chanted in Toronto, but as you know, we don't have a packed crowd like that. And last year, so it's nice to have a bunch of fans out there and a sold out crowd. Glad we can give them a win. Burnsy threw the lights out. So, you know, we, like I said yesterday, if we put runs on the board, our pitchers are going to hold it down for us.
Never a curtain call on any level before tonight. This was the first one ever.
No, I had one in the minor leagues. I think in Double A, I had one, but everything's better in the big leagues.
Looked like Willie had to work pretty hard to get you out there.
I didn't know. It's a little different, you know, minor leagues and big leagues. You hear it way more, but it was nice. You know, my first at bat here, I had in Milwaukee. They chanted my name, and I think I struck out. So it was just good to hear my name.
I know it's a small sample size, but I think you're like 7 of 13 against the White Sox this year. They've got a great pitching staff. Any explanation for it?
You know, like you have some history with teams being in the American League my first 3 years. You face the White Sox, face them 18, 19 this year before I got traded over. So you see some familiar faces, face some of these guys in the minor leagues. You know, faced Lance Lynn when he was with Texas, New York, when Keuchel in Houston. So you run across these names and these pitchers that you play against over the years, and sometimes they win, sometimes you win. So, you know, right now I'm just coming out on top.
Howdy, have you ever seen a run taken off the board because a guy missed home plate?
Yeah, never in that sense, though. Never on anything like that. I've seen it in like a tag up slide, missed home, catcher kind of blocked it, went back to tag him, but never anything in that sense. But, you know, that's just heads up by our video department, by our staff to notice those things, because, you know, one run could mean anything. So that was just great heads up.
Rowdy, that inning was like so unlucky for Burns to that point. Little infield hits, the blooper. Do you feel like he was maybe due some luck? And does baseball ever drive you crazy that it's there's just luck involved in so many cases?
Yeah, I mean, you know, for Burnsy's sake, I don't think anybody found a barrel in that inning. You know, broken bats, some weak hit balls, just found perfect spots. But, I mean, like I said, he put up one run and kept it at one run, you know, and that's all we needed. So, again, Burns, our whole pitching staff, bullpen, starters, they're all going to go out and compete. You know, that's why you have four all-star pitchers on a team. You know, they're going to go out and they're going to bust their butts for us, and our job is to keep their backs and keep them in the game for as long as we can.
What's on tap for the crew? What pitcher starts the next one? It's time for some forward thinking on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On the Fan.
All right, that's going to do it. There he is, Rowdy Tellez. I kind of like that kid. I do. But I'm a little nervous for guys like him, maybe Keston Hiram, maybe a Tyrone Taylor. And, you know, there's, as we heard earlier in the show, reinforcements coming back in terms of health. Lorenzo Cain is probably going to join the team on Tuesday in Pittsburgh. And, you know, adjacent roster moves going to be had. But, yeah, who knows? I mean, maybe they'll go with him and Vogel back. He's going to be back, and those are all good things. Devin Williams is going to be back soon, so these are all good things. But tough decisions. I think the better you get, the more talent you have, the tougher the decision. Speaking of talent, yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
Well, yeah, you want these tough decisions. That means that, you know, you're competing for the division and the playoffs, and you got one heck of a team. Rowdy's funny, man. I like that kid. That was his answer, you know, when he said it was his first ever, and then he said he had one, you know, one in the minors too. But you know, funny. That was funny.
Did Willie have to pull your arm to get you out? I didn't even know what they were doing out there. It's like, yeah, that's cool. That is cool. All right, so game three, it is a 6:08 start. And that's the first pitch. After the last pitch, we'll meet you right here. Sunday Night Baseball. And we'll have the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Lance Lynn, Brandon Woodruff, another great pitching matchup.
Yeah, what a weekend, man. What a weekend. All three of these games, just, you know, good starters. Every single game, this is fun. This is fun.
Lance Lynn comes in a 194 earned run average, and Woody comes in with that 204 ERA. Come on, Woody. Come on, pitch a gem. Go like seven and two thirds, maybe eight innings of one run ball. We take that. Offense keep grinding away. You're gonna have to go after it. Maybe ambush Lance Lynn early in the ball game tomorrow night. All right, we'll talk to you guys tomorrow night. For Jeff Orlowski, the Polish Pipe Bomb. My name is Tim Allen. You guys have a great night. Enjoy the victories. Once again, the final 6-1 tonight, as the Brewers take care of the White Sox to take the game and the series. Now they go after the sweep. If my ex-wife will loan them her broom, maybe they can get that done. We'll see. And after all this, smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.